The Gospel is written in John, chapter 1, verse 1, to be found on page 1063 in the Church Bible. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Do please be seated and let's pray. Father, we do pray that as we, at this Christmas time, return to this most amazing of events, we pray that you would open our eyes to see it afresh and to understand its depths. And that as we dive into its depths, may it, the truth of Christmas, drill down deeply into our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I came across this sort of game or whimsy the other day, which is this idea of summarising a story or a film in 5 words. And it's quite fun. So here we are. Let's try it out. Let's see how well you do. I'm not actually going to ask you to shout out because that wouldn't really feel in keeping with the Midnight Communion. But maybe mutter to your neighbour or look smug when you pretend you got the answer right. So here's the first one. All in 5 words. Short guy destroys evil jewellery. What are you thinking? Hopefully you're thinking Lord of the Rings. Crazy man chases white whale. Now, maybe, I don't know whether you... Moby Dick. Big daddy issues in space. The Empire Strikes Back, that's very good. This one, you don't talk about it. Fight Club, very good. That's nice. I'm going to be arming with a shout out here. Nottingham Robbers are good people. That's obviously any of the Robin Hoods. Heroes Journey Home After War. I'm looking at my daughter here, who studied this, I think. The Odyssey. Looking for a Covenant Box. Raiders of the Lost Ark. And Unbeatable Future Robot Gets Beaten. Anyone there? It's Terminator or any of those. It's quite fun. So try it out. Try and think up really good ones. Not during the rest of the service, by the way. Wait till afterwards or when you get home tomorrow. It's great. It's good fun to do. But actually, in the reading from John's Gospel today, he goes one further than any of those. He summarizes the whole of the Christmas event in just 4 words when he says, the Word became flesh. I always think that, like Matthew and Luke, after all of their penning of the Christmas story and agonizing over it all and writing all the words, must think, oh, there goes John. He does it in just 4. The Word became flesh. And that's going to be the focus of just these few moments this evening. The Word became flesh. So what is John doing in the reading? He finishes with that. Well, another sort of thought I've wondered is maybe they wrote them in the order of Luke, Matthew and John. And that Luke wrote the first episode where we had all the angels and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph. And then Matthew comes along and thinks, well, Luke's done episode 1, I'll do episode 2 and we'll get the wise men in and we'll tell that story. And John's thinking, well, really, that is the whole of the Christmas story. How can I still make money? I know, I'll release a prequel. And that is what we have in our John reading. John says you will understand everything that you read in Matthew and Luke when you understand who Jesus was before he came to earth, who the Word was. And to be honest, most prequels are deeply disappointing, but not John's. Nothing beats what John does here. It is the ultimate and most complete origin story there's ever been. It takes this baby born in a manger and it says, well, who is he? Where has he come from? And as John looks at this, he gives us 3 Christmas gifts. As he looks at this character he describes as the Word, he gives us 3 Christmas gifts. And that word, literally the Word, which in Greek is the word logos, is a word that for John, at one level it's a very simple word, isn't it? But it's a simple word with deep meaning. It's a bit like, we have words like that today, like truth, freedom, a dream. Words that seem very simple, but have lots of resonance. And that's what we got here, the Word. So what are these 3 gifts we're going to learn from the Word? Well, the first is, the Word reveals truth. In the beginning was the Word. Before anything else, the Word was at the beginning. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we don't have to go very far to realize that this Word, the Word that John is talking about, is the one who would be born as a baby in a manger. The Word became flesh. And we read here that he is God. And not just that, but through him all things were made. He's not only the God of the universe, he is also the one who made the universe. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And that means because he comes first, because he was before the first, he defines everything. Everything is made out of reference to him. Everything is sustained by the Word. And this Word is born in a manger. Do you get this? This is like a world quake. Like, the story of Christmas is not a sweet story in a manger in a stable. It is the most profound event that has ever happened that shakes everything else. The creator of everything becomes a baby. That is a miracle of vast proportions. When we read the stories or the accounts of Jesus' life, and we read about healings and raising from the dead and walking on water and calming the storm and feeding the 5,000 and rising from the dead, once you understand the earth, the universe shattering events of that first Christmas, the rest is easy. God has come to earth, the Word has become flesh. And that tells us something really important for us. The gift of it is this. It means we can know the truth. The truth about everything, because we can know the one who made everything. right now in our culture, you've seen it, we are suffering from the destruction of truth. And at one level, that's okay much of the time. We're quite happy, you know, deciding what's true for us. And that feels quite, you know, chilled and all right. But then something shakes our world. A storm whips up. And the boat of our life is becoming flooded. And finally, we are looking for something which will be firm ground. But we don't know where it is. Because truth has become so uncertain. And it also has led to increasing aggression, hasn't it, in the way we converse as a culture. Because we no longer agree on a truth, I must batter you into submission until you accept my truth. Everyone is biased apart from me. We are in a crisis because we've lost our moorings. But the Word has become flesh. And that means we now have a place to put our feet. We have firm ground on which to live our lives, on which to love and to care, on which to hope. It is the hope of foundation. It is that God has become human. He has come amongst us. So here's the question. Why do we hesitate from grasping hold of the truth of Jesus? At its heart, it's because we fear the loss of control. We think we can get by. Everything seems quite calm. But the truth is, without the Word, we have no firm place to stand when the storm comes. But with the Word, nothing can break us. The Word reveals truth. The second gift that John gives us is the Word shines its light. It says this, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not overcome it. And here, John weaves these two words together, light and life. And he says, because the Word is life, it brings light. Why is that? Well, because the Word defeats death. It gives light. Death is the dark shroud which hangs over human existence and human life. It ends everything. It is the abyss to which every living thing is headed. And it cast this awful shadow. But then the Word came down like a phosphorus flare, shining its light and eradicating the darkness everywhere it reaches. The Word coming to earth says that darkness doesn't win. That he would come to deal with that darkness that stands at the end of our journey. And because he deals with that darkness, life has meaning and purpose again. The journey might reach some dark valleys, but the future is not dark, but unimaginably and gloriously bright. So the Word brings light. So why do we hesitate? Why do we hesitate to surrender our lives to the Word, to the Lord Jesus? Well, because to deal with the darkness to come, the Word must first shine its light, exposing the darkness within us. To bring us the forgiveness from the darkness within, we first need to see it. And that leaves us frightened and exposed. As Simeon, one of the first people who meets the Lord Jesus, says that Jesus comes so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. When we meet the Word, when we meet Jesus, our hearts are exposed. But in that diagnosis, there is healing. So yes, it is. There's a hesitation when we meet the Jesus who is the Word. Because we know his incredible, glorious, beautiful light will expose our hearts. But if we have the courage, it is in that exposure that we will find healing. We'll find the forgiveness of sins. So the Word reveals truth. The Word shines light. But the third gift is this. The Word becomes personal. The Word became flesh and dwelt and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is beautiful. It says that the truth is not a legal code to be obeyed. It's not a theological essay to be understood. It is not a list of beliefs to be memorized and parroted. The truth is a person to be encountered. That's what John says. The truth, the light, the life that is our hope is a person. And you and I can know him. But what does it look like to know him? What will that relationship look like? As one writer said, is this the kind of person you ask into your life to be your assistant? That's how often we treat the Word, isn't it? Treat Jesus. If we do believe, we treat him as our assistant, useful to have around when we need him. But when we don't, we can just put him behind us. But you can't do that with the Word. You can't do that with the one who is God, who made the world, who is the light, who brings life. You can't treat him as your assistant. When it says this great promise to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, it can't simply mean you agree that the things happened. You agree that the things said about him are true. It must be a belief that changes our life. This is not an equal relationship that the living Jesus is calling us to, the Word is calling us to. It is a totally unequal one. But we want it to be. We have an opportunity to know the Word, the living God, the Lord Jesus, the one born in that manger. We don't want it to be equal. We want it to be wonderful. And so the only thing we can do to receive and to believe is we do so bowing our knees, metaphorically, surrendering ourselves to him. Many of us will have liked Jesus. Many of us will have admired him. Many of us might have followed him. But we only know him when we surrender to him. So that's John's gift to us today, that when we look at that manger in our minds and we see that baby, we understand that that baby is oh so wonderful. That he is the truth revealed to us. He is the light that would shine on us and for us. And he is the one who calls us to surrender to him. And in doing so, we become his family. And if you want to do that, if that is something you want to do, I encourage you to do it this Christmas. Not to wait, to do it before it chimes midnight. To say to Jesus, I've admired you before, or I've followed you, or I've listened to you, or maybe I've never even thought of you, but right now, I surrender to you. Amen.